Well, thank you ever so much for joining us for this week's Tech Law 10. Slightly unusual this week, as I'm in Washington, D.C., but Eric, you're still where you should be.
Well, who knows where I should be? I'm originally from Washington, D.C., but I'm right now where I've been living in San Francisco. That's true.
So you very kindly offered to give me a quick education, given that I just landed an hour ago, on what's happening over on Capitol Hill with some proposal for new legislation for some sort of a moratorium on internet laws. Is that true?
Yeah, go figure. So we all have to be a little bit also forgiving of Jonathan, because he might be running on fumes here. He's been up for, you know, 24 hours or so. But, you know, such is the life of a busy, productive lawyer like Jonathan. But, yes, this is your weekly Tech Law 10. That's Jonathan. I'm Eric Sinrod in San Francisco, coming back at you where the law and information technology intersect. So the topic today is there really going to be a potential blockage of further legislation of internet laws coming up, and why? And so perhaps, well, let me introduce it this way. We have a California Republican representative in Congress named Daryl Issa, and he's proposed legislation that would be called the Internet American Moratorium Act, or IAMA for short. He proposed it on the website Reddit, and basically his proposal would put a further end, will put an end to further internet legislation for 2 years. Now, why would he do this? Well, some have speculated it's because he's concerned about, you know, further iterations of anti-piracy laws. And if Congress basically tells itself, we're not going to pass any laws for 2 more years, you know, that'll forestall that from happening. So let me read you the operative part of the bill, Jonathan. And if you're awake enough, you can, you know, hear me, and I'll give you some thoughts, and then you can respond too. A part of the bill reads, quote, it is resolved in the House of Representatives and Senate that they shall not pass any new legislation for a period of 2 years from the date of enactment of this act that would require individuals or corporations engaged in activities on the Internet to meet additional requirements or activities. After 90 days of passage of this act, no department or agency of the United States shall publish new rules or regulations or finalize or otherwise enforce or give lawful effect to draft rules or regulations affecting the Internet until a period of at least 2 years from the enactment of this legislation has elapsed. Close quote. Now, whatever the motivation is behind the IAMA, this language is incredibly broad. It uses words like, quote, engaged in activities on the Internet, close quote, and, quote, affecting the Internet, close quote. Well, this would sweep up so many aspects of daily life as the world has moved online for business, pleasure, education, government, and more. So would Congress seriously consider broadly tying its own future hands in barring legislation for 2 years across the board? Because affecting the Internet is almost anything affects the Internet these days. And even if Congress did so, what would stop Congress from changing its own mind down the road with legislation undoing the IAMA if it wasn't happy with it? So my thinking, Jonathan, and I'm going to turn it over to you in a second if you're still awake, is that perhaps the true intent of ISA, or ISA, I might be pronouncing his name wrong, I apologize, Congressman, but maybe his intent in floating the IAMA was to get public attention and to get people involved in considering the legislative process, and he certainly has done that. By proposing the bill on the website Reddit, ISA has achieved immediate public discourse. There's been a lot of dialogue, and he certainly has attracted attention. But this one person's view is that the chances of this legislation actually having traction is virtually nil. So, Jonathan, if you're still there with me, talk to me.
Yeah, no, it sounds very interesting. I just wonder whether constitutionally, certainly in the UK, as you know, we don't have a written constitution, but that doesn't mean to say we make it up as we go along. And but I'm not sure constitutionally in the UK whether you could actually bind a future parliament. We have this notion of what's called entrenchment, which generally isn't allowed. So so one parliament can't bind its successors. So I thought that's an interesting issue. I think it's undoubtedly the case that the rapid changes in legislation in this space are costing businesses a lot of money. There was a recent UK government survey where they costed out the European Commission's data proposals. And I know we've spoken about that in the past. I can remember at the time saying that I thought that the Commission's view that new legislation saves money was frankly crazy. And I think when you go and do the math, I forget the exact figure, and do forgive me because I've been up a long time, but I think it's about 600 million sterling per annum is the cost to business. So, you know, that's far from being a saving, you know, much as predicted. That doesn't surprise anybody, I don't think, other than the Brussels bureaucrats who dreamed these laws up. And I think we have got this balance to strike. The Commission's new raft of legislation, they're wanting to be fit for the next 20 years. I think in the internet space, that's entirely unrealistic. But equally, businesses are suffering from a burden of rapidly changing legislation. I personally quite favour the approach that we're having, for example, in the criminal space in the UK with social media, for example, where the Director of Public Prosecutions here, a guy called Keir Starmer, has said, you know what, the law isn't going to catch up. The law is there. We'll do the best we can. And that's the British way in some respects. But we'll have clarity in the way that we enforce it. And those prosecutorial rules can change, but the basic law will just have to catch up in its own good time. And maybe the time has come for us to do that with the internet. You know, in the early days of the internet, I think there were very few, if not no specific laws, but we went back to first principles. So cases like, you know, spam were prosecuted under old trespass legislation. And so maybe there's the germ of what he says is actually correct, that if we go back to established principles and look at existing law, maybe it's good enough to do the job. But I personally wouldn't want to tie my hands and say that I wouldn't do anything for 2 years. And it's a brave man who can predict the next 2 months in the world of the internet, let alone the next 2 years, I would have thought.
Now, I will point out one thing. I believe there was a carve-out exception for, you know, potential need for legislation having to do with cybersecurity.
Okay.
But I think your points are extremely well taken. Can one Congress, you know, tie the hands of a later Congress, et cetera? So, you know, I thought this was an interesting topic because, you know, in many ways, as I say here, you know, the technology explodes out of the box at warp speed and the law sort of struggles to catch up. But it does try to catch up, and we do have case law coming down, and we do have legislation. We certainly have far more internet legislation now than we did a decade ago, far more. But that the idea that, you know, Congress wouldn't have the flexibility here to deal with new situations and propose new laws, it's a little surprising. So I know you need to get some rest, my friend. Enjoy my hometown of Washington, D.C. This has been our weekly Tech Law 10. This is Eric Sinrod. I'm here with Jonathan Armstrong. You can find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, et cetera. My email address is ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. And all that remains is for Jonathan to close out and say thank you ever so much.
Yeah, yes, I will. And I'm afraid to say that there's a building in my line of sight, so I can't tell you whether the lantern is shining at the top of the Capitol building. I can't tell you whether they're sitting to pass this legislation tonight, but I will say thank you ever so much. We always enjoy your comments when you've listened. My email address is jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. You'll find us on Twitter. Eric, you're EJ Sinrod, aren't you, on Twitter? And I'm Armstrong JP. And we're on LinkedIn, Eric's on Facebook as well. And we look forward to speaking with you again next week. Thank you for listening.
Cheers.